Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. This is Brother Paul Neeson, your health watchman, letting you know that a watchman is a person on the wall to warn people when something is about to happen that is dangerous. Something is on the horizon, and something is way beyond the horizon, folks, that many Christians are partaking in, and that's what we're going to talk about today. My name is Paul Neeson, and my website is TorahLifeMinistries.org. The Torah is the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. It's the foundation of all Scripture, and just like the example Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, gave in Scripture, saying something, a house cannot be solid on a weak foundation. Well, you have everything in Scripture, and the foundation of it is the Word of our Creator, who told us how to live our lives. And if that foundation is weak, everything that's built upon that would be weak. So we need to desire to follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator if we want to have a strong walk with our Messiah, Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. Now, we're come upon times now. There are many things that so-called believers or Christians do and partake in. And the Bible says, there's a verse that says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the people that it's referring to are the so-called believers, the people that confessed Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, as Messiah. These are the so-called people that are being destroyed. And their reason they're being destroyed, as we said, is lack of knowledge. Now, we all have worldly knowledge, folks. It's not about worldly knowledge. It's about lack of knowledge of the guidelines and instructions of our wonderful Creator, who gave us the things that says, if you diligently do and keep these guidelines and instructions, as it says, these statutes and these commands, I will not put the same disease upon you that I put upon the Egyptians. And it's not about Egyptians, folks. It's about the disobedient. If you are obedient to my statutes and commands, my guidelines and instructions, I will not put the same disease upon you that I put upon the disobedient. And that's Exodus 15:26, if you want to look that up for yourself. Well, we are upon a time now where there are many Christians doing things that are really not according to our Creator's guidelines and instructions. And because of the mercy and grace of our wonderful King Yeshua, our Messiah, the one you call Jesus, we have been able to get away with it, or seem we can get away with it, without suffering tremendous consequences for quite a while now. But they will catch up to us, folks, and we need to do something about it. Not only that, if we have been revealed the truth about something that somebody is going through, your fellow Christian brother or sister, and you do not tell them, now their sin becomes part of your sin, or the blood is now on your hands. You need to speak up as a fellow brother or sister in Messiah and let the person that's struggling to follow or correctly observe the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, that they're doing something wrong. And we could take this example on many levels. If any of us Christians are listening to Scripture and understanding what's going on, if we have a friend that professes to be a Christian and they're committing adultery or doing some other horrific act that the Bible says is an abomination and not a righteous thing, we as a brother or sister will go to them and let them know, this isn't righteous. And if they still reject us, we are to go to them with two or three brothers or sisters and tell them, this isn't righteous. And then finally, we gotta excommunicate ourselves from them if they're still not going to get it. But there's time, there's patience, there's the love of Messiah, of the example, to say, hey, I'll show you mercy, but I need to see some obedience in return. What are you going to do? Are you going to keep doing these things that I'm clearly showing you in Scripture that are wrong? Or are you going to desire to flee from these things? And I understand that people have struggles with certain things. People have been taught things. People have been doing things for so long in such a way that it's not easy to just stop immediately overnight. However, if the customs or traditions that you've been partaking in are clearly seen and shown to be against the words of our Creator, it is time something must be done. And if you keep doing the same thing and expect a different result, that is the definition of insanity. So what are we getting at, folks? Well, we're upon a time right now where very shortly we're going to be around the time of Easter, the celebration of Easter. And this is one of the two, maybe three top days of the Christian church today, where people actually show up and go to the church today or on that day. And the church makes the most money on that day. And it's all in the name of Easter. And how many of us have actually explored the history of Easter to understand what we're partaking in? Most Christians believe Easter is a day to celebrate the resurrection of our Messiah, Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. Well, what I want to do is just share with you the history of this. And what you decide to do with that history is up to you. And I know many Christians will say, well, the history you're showing me has nothing to do with the meaning in my heart of what I do on this day. And I'll submit to you, there's a day called Halloween that many Christians, rightfully so, don't want anything to do with. And they don't want to do what some churches are starting to dress the kids up in biblical characters and celebrating Halloween and just calling it something else. No, there are many wise Christians out there that understand it's an evil pagan day and they don't want anything to do with that day. And we don't have to make up a day to go against it. We just don't need anything to do with it. Well, when we look at Easter, I would submit to you that Easter is something that's a serious pagan tradition as well, that many people have looked the other way to the truth and the knowledge of this. It says in the Bible in James 4:17, to know good and not do it to him it is sin. To know good and not do it to him it is sin. You see, our enemy Satan, he cannot harm us physically, but he can destroy us mentally. He can make us do things that we know aren't good according to Scripture and actually try to justify those things. And this is what's partaking with something like Easter. And Easter is a day that's celebrated by nearly all of the common Christian churches out there today. And they all believe they're doing it to celebrate the resurrection of Yeshua, the one they call Jesus. And when we look at the history behind this, we find out it's a lot more than that. Because this is the only day of the year that the church will get a whole bunch of people to actually come on out. Because Christians, whether it's Christmas or Easter, it seems to be the only 2 days that many will come to the church. So they have a sunrise service to get as many people there as possible. And I will submit to you, many of them do it for the idea of money, not the idea of what they actually claim to be doing. And when you see the history of this, you shouldn't want anything to do with this service. It should be the one day a year you do not go to church. And again, I know many of you are going to be listening saying, well, that's not what it means to me. And I'm not discussing what it means to anybody. I'm telling you what it is, what the holiday actually is and where it comes from. So what usually takes place on this day is things that aren't questioned. Like a lot of people will get together and they'll use some decorated eggs and they'll have an Easter ham and they have stories about rabbits and all these different things. Here's a serious question, folks. Two questions. The first one is, have you ever looked into the tradition or the custom of where these things started? The Easter ham, the decorated eggs, the rabbits. And if your answer is no, you haven't, my next question would be, why not? Why have you not looked into this, which you've been doing every year or you do oh so often? Don't you think you should look into it just to see why and where these traditions come in from? Do you really think it's truly a day that is about Yeshua rising from the dead? Do you believe that? And if your question is yes, well, we need to look more into Scripture because we need to look at the history. We're going to give you a word now or a name, Ishtar, or Ishtar, which is pronounced Easter. It's I-S-H-T-E-R. It's pronounced Easter. And it's actually a day that commemorated the resurrection of one of the pagan gods that his name was Tammuz. So you might say, well, that's not what it is to me. And I'm telling you, this is what it is. You know, Tammuz was believed to be the only begotten son of the moon goddess and the sun god. Do you hear this, folks? There was a moon god and there was a sun god. And they supposedly got together and had a son named Tammuz. Now, when I first heard this, right away my antennas went up and I said, I don't want anything to do with that day. And somebody said, well, that day is Easter. I said, well, I don't want anything to do with Easter. And then my Christian friends would say, well, there can't possibly be anything wrong with Easter. And I say, well, look at the, have you ever looked in the history of it? So in those ancient times, let's look at where Tammuz came from. Because in ancient times, there was a man named Nimrod. Now, Nimrod is in the Bible. He was a grandson of one of Noah's son. Noah had a son named Ham. And Ham had a son named Cush, who married a woman named Semiramis. You know, Cush and Semiramis had a son named Nimrod. And this is all in scripture. It's history. It's real. I'm not making this up. I don't have an agenda to try to get people away from something that's scriptural. I'm trying to teach you what is scriptural so we see what we do with these things. So after the death of his father, Nimrod married his own mother and became a powerful king. I mean, so you see the sick, twisted thing here with the whole thing. Anything to do with that, we should be running away from. Not trying to change the day around and make it something good that's evil. No, it's something we should avoid. So the Bible tells of Nimrod in Genesis 10:8-10, it says, and Cush begot Nimrod, and Nimrod became a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before our creator. Wherefore it says, even Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, also known Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Kinni, and Shinar. So he had all this land. He was a mighty king, and he became a god to the people of Semiramis. So we see this, and then his wife and mother became a powerful queen of ancient Babylon. And Nimrod was eventually killed by the enemy in war, and his body was cut into pieces and sent to various parts of various kingdoms. So this is the crazy, twisted history of Easter, folks. Semiramis had all the parts gathered except for one part that could not be found, and the missing part was the reproductive organ. And Semiramis claimed that Nimrod could not come back to life without it, and told the people of Babylon that Nimrod has ascended to the sun, and he will now be called Baal, the sun god. And Queen Semiramis also proclaimed that Baal would be present on the earth in the form of a flame, whether a candle or a lamp, when used in worship. Basically, you have this lady, Semiramis. She was creating a mysterious religion, or a new religion. And it was all based around the idea of Easter. Again, you're listening to this right now, and if you've even made it this far, you might be interested in learning the history of this. But remember that verse, to know good and not do it, to him it is sin. You might not have known this when we started, but you're knowing it now, and the question is, what are you going to do with this truth, with this history? Remember, we need to follow the guidelines of and instructions of our Creator and not live against them. And there are consequences attached to living against these things. And you might say, look, I have nothing to do with this day. I have nothing to do with the pagan origins of this. Well, no, you partake in eating an Easter ham, which our Creator calls an abomination. You decorate eggs when you understand where eggs came from and rabbits came from and the cakes with crosses on it came from. All of these things are abominations. So you are partaking in these things if you're dealing with this, and you're letting your kids deal with it, and you think there's no connection? You think there's no consequence? There's serious consequences, folks, and we need to do something about this. We need to wake up about this now before it's too late. And for many of us, it is too late because consequences are happening. Evil things are happening, and it's time. It's time, folks, that we put an end to it. That we put an end to all this. So Semiramis was creating this mysterious religion with the help of the adversary. She set herself up as this goddess. And so now you have the god that died that people created in Baal. And now you have Semiramis. She said she's a goddess. And she claimed that she was some miracle that she conceived. And she taught that the moon goddess went through a 28-day cycle and ovulated when full. And she further claimed that from the moon, a giant moon egg fell to the Euphrates River. And this is how it happened at the time, the first full moon after the spring equinox. So now we see where eggs came from. The crazy idea of eggs. So Semiramis became known as Ishtar, which is pronounced Easter, and her moon egg became known as Ishtar's egg. And Ishtar soon became pregnant and claimed that it was the rays of the sun god Baal that caused her to conceive, and the son that brought forth was named Tammuz. And Tammuz was noted especially for to be fond of rabbits. And this became sacred in the ancient religion because Tammuz was believed to be the son of a sun god Baal, and Tammuz, like his father, became a hunter. And a day came when Tammuz was killed by a wild pig. This is crazy, folks. But this is the history and this is the truth that many Christians hold so dear to this special day. So we have Tammuz, who was killed by a wild pig. So now we know where we get the rabbits from. Now we know where we get the eggs from. But check this one out. Queen Ishtar told the people that Tammuz was now ascended to his father Baal, and that the two of them would be with the worshippers in a sacred candle or flame as the father, son, and the spirit. And then Easter, or Ishtar, who was now worshipped as the mother of God or the queen of heaven, continued to build this mystery pagan religion. And she told worshippers that when Tammuz was killed by the wild pig, some of his blood fell on the stump of an evergreen tree, and the stump grew to a full tree overnight. And this made the evergreen tree sacred by the blood of Tammuz. She also proclaimed a 40-day period time of sorrow each year prior to the anniversary of the death of Tammuz. 40 days prior to Easter, folks. Do we get it? Do we understand what's happening here? During this time, no meat was to be eaten. Worshippers were to meditate upon the sacred mysteries of Baal and Tammuz, and to make a sign of the T in front of the hearts as they worshipped. They also had sacred cakes, making a T or a cross on the top of these cakes every year on the first Sunday after the first full moon. After the spring equinox, a celebration was made. This was Ishtar's Sunday, and it was celebrated with rabbits and eggs. Ishtar, or Easter, also proclaimed, because Tammuz was killed by a pig, that a pig must be eaten on that Sunday. Folks, our wonderful Creator tells us in His guidelines and instructions that pork is an abomination and should never be put in our body. It's called an unclean food. It's just as equal as the abomination of homosexuality in Scripture. It's a deathable offense. We should have nothing to do with it. Why do you say, as a Christian, you are not taking any of these pagan traditions or customs or cultures, and it means nothing to you, everything that I'm saying that was done in the history of Easter, but you continue to mess with eggs and rabbits and ham on Easter? There are consequences. Serious consequences for partaking in these things, no matter what you call them. And the sad thing is that many people are responsible for the curses that are happening in their lives, because the Bible says, if you follow my guidelines and instructions, if you keep my commandments, all will be well with you. If you are righteous, if you are obedient, but if you are disobedient, if you love the practice of sin, if you love living against my words, there will be serious consequences. If you will be blessed abundantly for keeping His word, you will be cursed abundantly for not keeping His word. I'm not talking about being saved by work, folks. We're saved by the blood of Messiah. But what I'm saying is there are consequences for living against His guidelines and instructions. And many of those consequences, look, we have the sickness today in the church. We have the same diseases as the world today in the church. We have the same evil, sad things going on in the church that are going on out of the church. Why? Because it says to no good and not do it to him it is sin. We need not be praying for healing of disease, folks. We need to be praising for our great Creator for giving us His guidelines and instructions that will keep us away from getting the diseases. There are consequences for doing these things and partaking in these things. The truth is, Easter has nothing to do whatsoever with the resurrection of our Messiah and our King, Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. You know, we see this, folks. We continually avoid and go against His holy days, His set-apart days of Passover, of Tabernacles, of Shavuot, and all the other holy set-apart days in Scripture, but we continue to partake and make excuses to follow the pagan customs and cultures of these practices and the historical things of this. And some might ask, well, you know, I look at my King James Version and they have the word Easter. Why is it in there? You know, it's because in Acts chapter 12, 4, it tells us it was an evil King Herod who was planning to celebrate Easter and not the Christians. So you have King Herod who was looking to celebrate this pagan holiday, not the Christians. But today the Christians are celebrating it. You cannot just change a name and do the same thing and expect there not to be consequences. The truth is, folks, that the 40 days of Lent, Easter rabbits, hot cross buns, and Easter ham, all of this is part of the pagan evil religion and cultures. And we need to be as far away from it as possible. And we need to stick to Scripture and get to our Creator's words. Now, what's my agenda? Why am I telling you this? Because, again, we are to be watchmen for each other. And if you are doing something that you're not aware of, I need to let you know the history of these things. What you decide to do with it is up to you. And I know, I'm very aware that some of you have heard this before. I'm also aware that some of you haven't. You know, it's not just hearing the information, it's what you decide to do with it. It says in the Bible, today I give before you life and death. Choose life so you may live. There are many of you that are going to hear this and you're just going to ignore it. Or you're going to try to make an excuse so you continue to partake in your pagan customs and cultures and practices. You have an opportunity, folks, to step up and step up to that narrow road that leads to that narrow gate, which is Yeshua Messiah. Or you continue on that wide path. We have that choice, folks. And so I know the reality is many of you won't get this, you won't listen to it, and you won't have ears to hear. But I do know there's someone that's listening that's going to say, you know what? I'm going to research that for myself because that just sounds like it could and might be true. I'm going to research that for myself, and I'm going to see if what this fellow is saying is true. And then if it is true, what are you going to do? Are you going to come out of Babylon? Are you going to separate yourself from the pagan customs and cultures that we've been doing for so long, and you're going to start desiring to follow the words of our wonderful Creator as found in the foundation of all Scripture, the Torah, the guidelines and instructions? Or are you going to keep listening to your pastor that says, today is a day that I want as many people as possible to come to church and give as much money as possible? Don't you see what's wrong with this, folks? Don't you see what's being done? Question your pastors of why they would partake in the pagan traditions of Easter and Christmas and all, and Halloween and all these other evil days. And it says in action, the actions by the money that they're collecting on these days is your answer. Some will actually just come straight out and say, well, how can we stay in business if we don't have the most important day of the year where the most people come and give the most money? Some of them are out, they'll just say it right there. And I will submit to you, if any day, this is the day we shouldn't be going to church. And I'll tell you, if you want to think about the resurrection of our wonderful Messiah, start looking at the idea of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And start looking at the ideas of the other appointed feast times that our Creator gives in Scripture that talks about these things, if you truly want to remember these things. The Hebraic roots of our wonderful Messiah Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, is something you also need to look more into. And start to realize that we need to come out of Babylon because the church today is often stuck in Babylon, stuck on that narrow path. We have an opportunity to be blessed abundantly. Remember, Exodus 15:26, if you diligently follow my guidelines and instructions and you keep my statutes and commands, I shall not put the same disease upon you that I put upon the Egyptians. Well, what's the reverse side of that? Well, if you continue to follow the ways of the disobedient, if you continue to let yourself be destroyed for lack of knowledge, you will get these curses amongst you. Look around, folks. We are saved by the blood of Messiah. We shouldn't be doing these things for blessings or curses, but there are consequences to being disobedient. And I am here as your watchman to let you know the way, the truth, and the life, and that is Yeshua, our Messiah, and our Yeshua Messiah would have nothing to do with the abomination practice of keeping Easter or following the pagan traditions and gods that so many people are following today. Do you desire to be part of his sheep and answer the call and do what he told you to do? Or do you just want to make it easy for yourself and just follow everyone else to the slaughter? And let the pagan gods continue to control you? We have to come out of Babylon. That's what we got to do. And not be stuck in it. read your scriptures for yourself and see what it says for yourself, and you can come to your own conclusions. But this is what the Bible says, and I have many other videos and audios on my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org. You can go to the podcast, you can go to the videos, you can see the comments under there, you could comment yourself under there, showing people the way, the truth, and the life of Yeshua Messiah, and what he taught us how to live, and what to do with the information we have. And our wonderful Creator gave us the greatest gift in the world by giving us the scriptures, and we also have the history of the world. I'm not talking about prophecies, which are many theories of things that might happen in the future to come. I'm talking about the proven history of the things that have already happened in today's world, and we can learn from those things, and we could understand when it says, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're not talking about lack of knowledge because we have worldly knowledge. They're talking about lack of knowledge of the Torah, of the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. That's why people are destroyed, because they continue to learn and do the things of this world, but they have no ears to hear or eyes to see of what the actual Bible is telling us to do and how we should be living our lives. And then when we find that out, we got pastors deceiving us, teaching us many excuses of why it's okay to continue to live in sin and to live an evil life according to our Creator's words. We should not be partaking in any abominable food of such as an Easter ham. We should not have anything to do with the eggs and the rabbits and the hot cross buns on Easter or any day. We need to avoid these things and run from these things. Flee from this evil, folks. And I'm here to tell you the truth and pray that the truth will set you free. But it's up to you, folks. It's up to you. And that's what we teach here at Torah Life Ministries. And on the radio station at 11:30 every Sabbath, every Saturday, we're here so you can learn this truth and see this truth from Scripture of what it says. And I think what a horrible thing that people would desire to follow the pagan days and the pagan cultures, even if they won't admit it, even if they don't think they're doing that, but they will avoid following the holy set apart Sabbath day of our wonderful Creator, who tells us to take that day and set it apart. We need to start realizing there are consequences for our actions as so-called believers in Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. And we need to start acting the right way, and we need to start setting an example with the way we act and showing our heart to be true. Study it out for yourself in Scripture, folks, and you can see the truth for yourself. And leave your comments below wherever you're seeing this. You can contact the station or go to my website, Torah Life Ministries. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next week, have a blessed day and shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah
Life Ministries. Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.